This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views conveyed by the guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information shared by the guests on this program are those of the guests and are for informational purposes only. They should not replace the medical advice of your veterinarian.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. In this episode, Monica Layton shares helpful information on the importance of dental care for our pet's overall health. That's what's on our show, so let's get started.
Come here, babies. It's time for a treat. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves. Thank you for joining us today as we bring you the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the doggydiva.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. February is National Pet Dental Health Month, and as a pet parent, I know that our pet's dental health is a critical component to their overall health. And today, Monica Layton shares the importance of maintaining your fur kid's dental health and how caring for your pet's dental health at home can help protect them against dental disease. And as a longtime pet parent, I understand the importance of supporting my fur kid's dental health. And so I am planning on paying close attention because I want to make sure that I help so I don't impact their overall health, except for positive. So Monica, welcome back.
Thank you.
And this is like so important. And we talk about this like almost every year, the importance of, you know, helping to maintain our pet's dental health. And for those pet parents who may not be familiar with the importance of our pet's dental care, can you share how having our pet's teeth checked at least once a year is so important?
Dental care in pets, it's not about pretty pictures during the holidays. It's not about pearly whites. It is about overall health and longevity of your pet. You know, unfortunately, ignoring dental disease turns a mouth problem into an entire body problem, which can stress the organs and potentially shorten the pet's life frame. So you really want to, you know, have regular checkups with your veterinarian because it's essential for early detection. You need to see before it gets severe. The longer it progresses, the worse it becomes. Things that have gone on for years can lead to, you know, bone loss. There's a lot of different progressions and staging in dental disease. And when your veterinarian looks at your pet's teeth, they're actually going to grade it on a system. And they have a dental disease, you know, a periodontal disease grading scale. And based on that scale is really like, they're okay right now, but you should have a dental in the next 6 months or, you know, the next year. This is, you know, this is bad. You need this right away. That kind of scale and having your veterinarian look at them is really, really going to be the tool you need to keep your pet around as long as possible.
And what are like some of the problems we should be looking for? Like I know doggy bad breath and some other things. What is it that we as pet parents should be looking for to know, like, when is it time to contact our vet so that they could, what do we need to do to identify the problem, I guess, so that we know when to contact our vet for to bring them in for dental?
what you'll see, you know, at home, things that can occur. Sometimes your pet will eat a little slower than normal. Kibble can sometimes fall out of their mouth. They don't seem to hold things as much. They might be reluctant when they're picking things up in their teeth. So you may see, you know, a little soreness. If you're actually looking at their teeth and gums, you know, gum inflammation, and you're really not going to be as... Now, all of the teeth in the mouth, of course, are a concern, but the back, the very, very back, is the number one place that it's going to start occurring. So even if the front of your pet's teeth look nice and white, you got to lift up those gum lines and look way in the back at the very, very back side of the teeth. And then additionally, some pets chew more on one side of their mouth than the other. So definitely check both sides in the very, very back. And you should start seeing, you know, a yellowing on the teeth. Actually, a callus can start forming on there. Any kind of lumps and bumps, you know, signs of oral tumors, abscesses, any teeth that could appear loose, because, you know, be a sign of inflammation and actually bone loss as well. So all things to look for at home.
Wow. I know we adopt a lot of senior pets. And, you know, the last one we took in for a dental, she had to have a number of teeth removed. But that's because our vet had, she said, I don't think that she had regular dental care. And so this is what happens. So, I mean, is that normal that like a, you see, and she had very bad breath when we got her, but it, there were other things. So is that something that's normal, like to be prepared for, maybe more than a couple of teeth to be removed?
Yeah, and it really, again, this goes back to early prevention, because the sooner you spot it, the less damage to the actual bone structure that occurs. So the teeth are starting to fall out and have to be removed when the roots and the, you know, the gum line is not intact in that area. So the longer the dental disease progresses, the more chance you have of losing these teeth. Because even if you clean the tartar off, the gum line can be, you know, exposing the roots. The roots can be infected. And not good to where, you know, they're going to fall out. They're going to cause pain. You can get, you know, cracking pieces falling off because, you know, the tooth is essentially dying. And that also, you know, the jawline, you know, the gum, all of that is infected by the plaque and bacteria that sit on that teeth. And the longer that it's there, you know, the more bone loss you have in the jaw, and the jaw becomes unstable. You can actually get broken jaws easily, and the teeth just start, you know, the whole jawline will weaken and the bone loss will occur. They'll start falling out. And again, in some pets, they'll have a couple almost every time, and it's kind of routine. And others, you can go and not have it for a while, but then if it progresses for a long time, you will have to take out a bunch.
Yeah, when we adopted Olive, they had to take out all of her teeth, and she had that jaw, the collapsed jaw, the poor little thing. But she felt a whole heck of a lot better when they were gone.
Absolutely.
So that being said, Monica, what can pet parents expect when they bring in their vets for a dental cleaning? I mean, there's some of us who go regularly, and of course, February is a very easy month because you just put it in your calendar and you go, okay, I'm bringing all of mine in February. But some people may not be familiar with it. So what can they expect when they bring their pets in for this?
So some vet offices, you know, will differ slightly from others, but I can tell you the most common things that you'll see to expect when your pet is going in for a dental. They're going to have you fast the pet the night before, no food or water past a certain time frame, and that time frame can vary based on what time they're doing the procedure and what, you know, the doctor's protocols are. They may have you withhold some medications that your pet's on for that morning. Expect them to be at the veterinary office all day. It's usually not an hour or two, simply because, you know, you're going to have time being under anesthesia. They're going to monitor them after the procedure. the time of the procedure. They want to make sure that your pet's going home alert and awake. So it's generally, you know, they're there for, you know, a good portion of the day. The pet will usually come in. They'll run blood work the morning of if it was not done in advance of the appointment. Make sure all of their vital signs are stable and that the pet is, you know, in good enough health to go under an anesthetic. They will, you know, weigh the pet, make sure that, you know, the anesthetic is dosed by weight so they have the exact weight. The pet will fall asleep, go under anesthetic. They're monitored the entire time. And the procedure itself is very similar to when we go to the dentist, when adults, when people do. You know, it's usually done by ultrasonic scaling, and then they can even get in there and hand scale larger chunks. You know, dental x-rays will generally be performed to check the integrity of the jawline and the bone health. They will usually, you know, provide some kind of fluoride or polish, depending on, you know, what that vet's procedure is. Some of them will offer things that they can put on afterwards to help coat the teeth. Some offices do, some don't. You know, they'll tell you when you pick up, this is what occurred. They've lost this amount of teeth. Usually when you get home, they'll have you give slow meals at first and a slow amount of water. They don't like, you know, pets having a large amount of water, a large amount of food after anesthetic because it can upset their stomach sometimes. Your pet will likely be on antibiotics after the dental scaling, mainly because you have all that bacteria that you're, you know, drawing off the teeth. And even though they're flushing the mouth with water, you know, they'd want to just kind of clean everything up, make sure that, you know, none of that is swallowed or anything during the procedure. Making sure that, you know, all that bacteria and everything is out of the pet's system. Follow it up with an antibiotic. Generally, 10 to 14 days, depending on what they give. But most likely, your pet will go home with an antibiotic. And after that, they're back to normal. I mean, some pets can go home a little sleepy the first day. But generally, by the next day, they're eating normally, drinking normally, and back to their normal self.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, because I think it's really important, because I think some people don't understand, you know, some pet parents maybe not know what to expect. They don't understand it, and it may keep them from possibly doing it or looking into it. So, and we want to make sure that our pet's overall health is not impacted by this. And just quickly, Monica, I meant to ask this. What other things can it, if you're, because of the bacteria that's in there, because I had a couple of pets who had other things triggered from this when we adopted them, they hadn't been cared for, so it did trigger other organs. Can you just explain a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So the bacteria from the infected gums and the teeth, they enter into the bloodstream. So it travels to all the vital organs, your heart, your liver, your kidneys. So it causes inflammation and dysfunction. So for example, in the heart, that oral bacteria is also, it's linked to heart valve inflammation, which is called endocarditis. And that increases their risk of congenital heart failure. For the kidney and the liver, you know, the organs work to filter that bacteria. So that inflammation and infection, it causes impaired function of those organs. It weakens their immune system because the chronic inflammation from the gum disease, it stresses the immune system, making pets more vulnerable to other infections. They can have pain and behavioral changes because the pain from the infected gums, loose teeth, it can make it difficult in chewing. It could lead to, you know, poor appetite, weight loss, irritability, you know, hiding. And then, of course, you know, jaw fractures. When they get to severe inflammation, the weakened jaw bones can make them prone to fractures very easily just from simple actions, you know, like jumping and running or, you know, possibly, you know, rubbing on things, stuff like that. So it really can cause a significant amount of damage to the pet's body.
Wow. Thank you. That's so important. I had two that had, one had kidney, one had heart, and they both, you know, we adopted them again later in life, and my vet felt it was the dental health that the pet was currently in opened them up for this type of infection and it affected those organs. So thank you for sharing that, because sometimes pet parents don't know that it's like a trigger effect. It can trigger something, so...
Absolutely.
So that's great. So why don't we take a quick break? And when we return, Monica will share some helpful tips on home dental care that we can do between visits. So we'll be back in just a second.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising, so I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I am here with Monica Layton, and Monica is sharing with us some really helpful and valuable information about our pets' dental care. And Monica, how could we as pet parents help care for our pets between these dental visits to keep our pets, their teeth healthy, their overall health good? What can we do at home?
So at home, feeding an abrasive food, such as a dry kibble helps, because it's really all about the abrasion. The longer that they're chewing, the more abrasion that is on those teeth can draw loose that plaque and bacteria that's starting to form. So it can, you know, knock it off and stop it from progressing as quickly. They have things that you can get over the counter, or in your veterinarian, then you can add to the water. So if your pet just will not eat anything but, you know, a moist food, and you can't get that abrasion, you can have water additives. There are prescription dental diets that you can get from your vet's office. And, you know, again, all about the abrasion. So these dental diets, they're a larger kibble size. You know, they'll have additional ingredients in there that help with dental care. But abrasion. So anything that you can get to get your dogs to really chew. And again, you know, we're not talking like bone scraps, things like that. We're talking about specially made dental bones or dental diets that are strictly used for that reason. The main thing is you want to want what you give, because when you buy a prescription dental treat, it's tested. It's done for the reason that when the pieces of the bone start coming off, they should be able to be swallowed and absorbed and not get stuck. So that's why they caution about a lot of just general bones, because sometimes when you chew things, you know, like rawhides, things like that, they break off a big hunk and it can become an obstructive issue for the pet. A lot of the dental products that are made, they're made in shapes that are key to getting that plaque and that bacteria scraped off the teeth when they chew it. That's why you'll see like a lot of different shape dental chews, because they're done for that purpose of the shaping and how the pet is going to gnaw on it and getting that action of, you know, actually scraping off the side of the teeth. So products like that are fantastic. And I know we say, you know, once a year. I know the most directed, the general rule of thumb is every 6 months to have a vet assess, you know, the dog's teeth. If you can, you know, if you can only do once a year, it's better than nothing. But the more often they're looked at by your vet, the better. But definitely at home, you know, feeding a kibble, a fantastic way to go to get that constant abrasion. And then again, you know, kind of the larger treats, things like that, that they can really get some abrasive off it, and using those dental chews.
So Monica, my little Chewini Coco, who you know very well, Dr. Reinhardt, before he retired, so took very good care of her teeth. And we've had her as a puppy, so she does have very good teeth. But she has a question for you. She's looking for like one easy peasy tip for pet parents to do at home to keep their kids, the fur kids, pearly whites, really healthy. Is there like some fun little pet tip that we could do for our kids that they'd enjoy while keeping their teeth white?
My personal pets, they get these dental treats called Denties. They have a lot of different times on the market. But when I tell you that it is their routine, they love it and they like demand it every single morning. So it is the one thing. And remember that, you know, some of these treats are additional calories, but my pets get fed in the evenings. They're once a day feeders, but in the morning they get their dental treat. So they go out, and as soon as they go out and go to the bathroom in the morning, they are staring at me to go in immediately. And they'll like give me the short little, you know, oofs and the, you know, the little like, come on, let's go. And they're all in a canister on the counter, and they will go sit there and wait for their dental chew. So that's how they start their day every single day. And they look forward to it so much, and they will gnaw on those dental bones for a good 10, 15 minutes, which is the whole purpose of the dental bones. It's, you know, to have that abrasion, you know, on that teeth. So they're helping their teeth. They're getting their morning treat, and they could not be happier. It's like their special thing of the day.
Well, I have to say, on behalf of Coco, and she's going to share this little tidbit with her sisters, I thank you. And Monica, I just want to thank you for sharing such valuable information to help pet parents to understand the importance of annual dentals, or possibly more, with our veterinarians, and how we can help keep our pets' oral health care at home between these vet visits. So I want to thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the Doggy Diva Show, we are very proud of our initiative. It's the Pot Forward Initiative, and it's in loving memory of our beloved Miss Olive. And a portion of Miss Olive's book trilogy, The Doggy Diva Diaries, will be awarded to different animal organizations throughout the year. And our Pot Forward, but the person who'll be receiving it this month is Wings of Rescue. They're a charity that flies at-risk pets from overcrowded shelters and disaster areas to safe havens from where they are adopted into their forever homes. And to learn more about this vital organization that also flies in needed veterinary and humanitarian aid to communities in crisis, please visit www.wingsofrescue.org. They're amazing. They're an absolutely amazing organization. And thank you, Wings of Rescue, for all you do. And thank you, Monica, for all you do for us in the animal community. We love having you on, sharing all your knowledge.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. And we will be back in just a moment.
The Doggy Diva Diaries is proud to announce the Paw It Forward initiative in loving memory of Miss Olive. Each month, a portion of the proceeds from Miss Olive's trilogy of award-winning books will be donated to a selected animal welfare organization. The designated charity will be revealed at the end of each Doggy Diva Show episode. Miss Olive's legacy of kindness and love lives on in her books, which are about a lonely little rescue dog who spreads the message that it's not what you look like on the outside that matters. It's the love in your heart that counts. Her books are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers. Help Miss Olive paw it forward and visit us at thedoggydiva.com for more information.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our Doggy Divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of The Doggy Diva Show. To find out more about Susan Marie and the Doggy Divas, visit them at their website, thedoggydiva.com, and on Facebook at The Doggy Diva Show. Tell your fellow pet parents about it. We look forward to having you join us again for the next episode. See you soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.